Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Another great day here in the UP. If you notice, our big speakers are gone. We have smaller ones now with just as much sound. So we're very appreciative of Shane. Shane and Sean helped install those. I do want to thank Shane because as I've been coming into this building the last couple of weeks, I see Shane always up there just rewiring everything. He deserves a applause for that and a big thank you. The other good news is that we've had an anonymous donor give us money towards audiovisual equipment. So a projector is on its way. So praise God for that. Before I forget, I want to remind you guys, that tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Merchants and Miners building in their boardroom, we will have our first men's Bible study. So keep that in mind. We will be studying 1 Samuel, and we will also be studying what it means to be a godly leader. So we're going to contrast the life of Saul with the life of David. So guys, don't miss it. Plus, we'll have fun, and I'll make coffee. So, how many here have their private time with God in devotions? How many here have their private time with God in Bible reading? And how many here have their private time with God in prayer? Oh, that's wonderful. God bless all of you. But you know, sometimes we're not as diligent as we should be. And there are times in which we leave God sitting as we go off to do our little busyness of the world. So let me do a little sketch for you. As if I am going to work, and let me move a few things here. And this is what's in the life, I think, of a typical Christian businessman. Oh, Jesus, good morning. I didn't expect you up this early. And you got coffee on. How great. I know we were supposed to talk today, but something came up. I have a meeting this morning. I'm sure you'll forgive me because you're a God of forgiveness. But I tell you what, let's talk at lunchtime. Let's make it a point that we will talk at lunchtime. Oh, Jesus, I know it's lunchtime, but I have a very important appointment. We can't talk right now as much as I want to. How about tonight? Tonight, we're going to study together. Tonight, I'm going to talk and know more about you. Okay? Great. It's getting tiring. I'm sorry, Jesus, but I had to stay late at the office today. I'll be back, and I'll be back late tonight. So we will have that time together. You know, Jesus, I'm exhausted. Maybe we can do this some other time. Let's talk tomorrow morning. You bet on it, okay? Tomorrow morning. And by the way, would you get that light? You know, it may seem funny, but we do that to Jesus every day, don't we? That the most important thing in our life, the most important person in our life, the most important communication in our life, we put off because of the busyness of the world. Can anybody relate to this story? I hope so, otherwise you're lying to me. But today we're going to talk about the living room of your heart. This is the third part of a six-part series called Cleaning House. Cleaning that house of our heart where Christ wants to reside. And it's adapted from Robert Munger's book, My Heart, His Home. Let's read from Munger as he talks about the time with Jesus in the living room. We moved next into the living room. This was a quiet, comfortable room with a warm atmosphere. I liked it. He also seemed pleased with it. He said, "Let's come here often. It's secluded and quiet, and we can have good talks and fellowship together." So morning after morning, I would go downstairs to the living room. He would take a book of the Bible from the bookcase and open it, and we would read it together. Through the Bible and His Holy Spirit, He would talk to me. In prayer, I would respond, and those times were wonderful. However, under the pressure of many responsibilities, little by little, this time began to be shortened. Somehow, I assumed I was just too busy to give special regular time to be with Christ. This was not a deliberate decision, you understand. It just seemed to happen that way. One morning, I recalled rushing down the steps in a hurry to be on my way to an important appointment. As I passed the living room, the door was open. Glancing in, I saw a fire in the fireplace and Jesus sitting there. Suddenly, in dismay, it came to me, "He is my guest." I invited Him into my heart. He has come as my Savior and friend to live with me, yet here I am neglecting Him. I stopped, turned, and hesitantly went in. With downcast glance, I said, "Master, I'm sorry. Have you been here every morning?" "Yes," He said. "The trouble is that you have been thinking of the quiet time of Bible study and prayer as a means for your own spiritual growth. This is true, but you have forgotten that this time means something to me also. At a great cost, I have redeemed you. I value your friendship, whether or not you want to be with me. Remember, I want to be with you." Today's message is going to come from 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 7. And we'll give you an insight into understanding that Jesus is real. Jesus is a real individual, fully man and fully God. And He seeks to have this relationship with us. He wants us to be with Him every single day. So, turn to your Bibles to 1 John 1, and we'll read 1 through 7. And also, we're going to read from Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. And before we start, turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm glad you're here, and so is God." Go ahead, do that. "I'm glad you're here, and so is God." Amen. And "I'm glad you're here, and so is God." Amen. 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 7. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is a message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we talk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. This is a letter to the Ephesians. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you personally. I come to you as a servant of yours and as a servant of Grace Christian Fellowship Church. I ask, Lord, that you will use me, that I will carry your wisdom, that I will be able to parse out your word of God in a concise and precise way. I pray, Lord, that you open the hearts of the people here today. You open up their minds and their hearts to receive your word and to receive your teaching. Most of all, Jesus, I love you. I apologize for the times that I should have and could have spent time with you and did not. So, Lord, bless this time that we all have with you and have your presence ever known to each and every one here. And I pray this in your name. John wrote the first epistle to the church because the wise guys were coming in. When I say the wise guys, the Gnostics. What were Gnostics? Gnostics were those uppity-up guys that thought they had a special knowledge about God that no one else had. And in that, they were telling the church that they needed a special spark of knowledge. And that man, the human body of man, was deceitfully wicked and bad. Worse than that, they said that Christ could not have been fully man. He only seemed to be fully man. He only seemed to be. Others were saying, well, Christ came upon Jesus at the time that he was baptized and left Jesus at the time that he was crucified on the cross. But John says this. John said baloney. Because he was real and he is real. Listen to what John says in verse 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared. John wasn't mincing words. He says, from the beginning, Lord, from the beginning, I was with you. From the very beginning, I was with you. I heard you with my ears. It was an audible voice. You were there. I saw you with my eyes. I visualized you. You're alive. Fully human. I looked at you, which is in the Greek means examine, you know, kind of analyze, stare at, take in. I looked at you. And not only that, he says, I touched him. I touched you. I touched your hands where the wounds were, where the holes were. I touched your feet where you were nailed. I touched the wound on your side. It's not just me. It's all the apostles. This is a real human being and a real God. They proclaim this. He proclaimed this to all the Gnostics. He became visibly human. When we talk about the Word of Life in the Gospel of John, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He later said that when the Word came down and dwelled with us in the flesh. That's what he was talking about. That's what he was talking about, the church. He's real. He's absolutely real. Not only is he real, his nature speaks of what we read about. He is a Word of Life. Everything that the Bible said about him, or the Scripture said about him, he was there. So there was no doubt that in his humanity, he was also God. You know, this isn't a fairy tale. Even today, people don't believe it. It's not a once upon a time story. It was an eyewitness story. An eyewitness from the gospel. Eyewitness that's written here. An eyewitness that said, Jesus, they heard you. They saw you. They looked at you. They touched you. John leaned up against you at the Last Supper. They testified to it. Testify means affirm. They affirmed it. They bared witness of their experience. That's what testify means. And they proclaimed it, and proclaimed it means they reported it to everybody. They reported it to everybody. And they also reported about his eternal nature. This Jesus, who came down here as fully man, was known in eternity past. That was with God at creation. When Genesis said, let us make man in God's image, who do you think the us was? But the Trinity of God. So it was eternal. Eternal existence, eternity past, and eternity future. That's what John was trying to get across. It's like you knowing somebody's real and someone else is saying, no, they're not. And they're right beside you. That's the emotions going through John's mind as he proclaims the reality of Christ. But not only is he real, in verse 3 and 4, we are reminded that Jesus wants fellowship with us. Listen to this. We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. He's proclaiming to everybody, this is real stuff. This is not phony baloney. This is real stuff. And we were there to see it. And we were there to witness it. And he's also saying, we were there to see it. We were there to witness it. We walked with him. We now walk with him. And you can walk with him too. You can have that fellowship with him. He's not distant. There's no veil between mankind and the throne of God. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus. We have that fellowship. There's not big separation between us here and the universe up there just to get to God. He's right here. He's right here in our bedroom. He's right here in our living room. He's right here in our prayer closet. The word fellowship is koinonia, which means to have joint participation with someone else in things held in common by both. We have joint participation in our life with Christ, as the apostles did, and as Christ has with the Father. Imagine that. What gives us that right? Another word for koinonia is intimacy and communion. We have the ability to be intimate with Jesus, to share with Him all of our hurts, to communicate with Him, to have Him as a companion. Fully human, fully God. This concept's foreign to a lot of people. There are those that said, I'll come to church when I get right. Instead of saying, I'm going to church so I can get right. You've heard that. It's foreign to the outsider. But to us who know Christ, He is as real today as He was real to the apostles as they walked this earth. Guzik, a popular contemporary pastor, says this: this relationship is a living, breathing, sharing, loving relationship. A living, breathing, sharing, loving relationship. It is as if the Father and the Son agreed together to let us into the relationship of love and fellowship. How did they conspire to give us that relationship? They conspired to say that man is deceitfully wicked. And there's only one way of justice to bring mankind and God back together. And that would be the shed blood of deity. The shed blood of some one in human form that is perfect. God, the Father, and Jesus co-conspired. God said, this is the only way to do it. And Jesus said, I'm going to do it. Does that make sense to you? It makes sense to me. Because we can't atone for our own sins. They conspired together to atone for our sins on the cross, to shed that blood for us, so that we can have this intimate relationship with Him. A personal companionship. That living, breathing relationship with Almighty God. And John says, so that your joy can be complete. And why would our joy be complete? Because God made us with this huge hole in our soul. God made us for Him. This huge hole in our soul that wants acceptance and love. And if that hole is never filled, we will never see the joy of having a relationship with God. It's like that void needs to be filled with something. And the only way you can trust true love and acceptance is through an Almighty God. No matter how close a relationship you have with anybody, it will never be the purest of love that you get from God. He says, I will never, not ever, not ever, 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 no way, no how, leave you nor forsake you. It just isn't me. It isn't in the book. It ain't going to happen. And if that doesn't give you joy, I don't know what will. I really don't know what will. And you know, we can't have it both ways. And that's what John is saying in verse 5 and 6. This is a message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by truth. We can't walk in this darkness and still be in the light. It doesn't make sense. John is saying, this I already got from Jesus. This I got. This is a message. It may not be written word for word here, but this is a message that he got from Jesus. And that is, Jesus is light. He's spiritual light. He's holy. He's pure. He's righteous. In him there is no sin. But if we walk in the darkness, now let me clarify something here. It says walk in the darkness. And when you look up in the Greek, it means habitually practice. It's your way of life. I'm not talking about just a lapse in sinning. I'm talking about a habitual lifestyle, which the Gnostics had, a habitually sinful lifestyle, thinking that it was still okay because they felt that they knew God. But they won't. It's like oil and vinegar. What happens when a flashlight comes into the dark room? This is a quiz. There's no darkness, right? So they're incompatible. They're incompatible. And that's what John is saying. Saying these Gnostics, they can't have their cake and eat it too. They can't do both. They can't habitually live in sinful nature and think that they can have fellowship with God. It just won't happen. It just won't happen. But we can walk in the light and not be afraid of our past and not be afraid of our future sins. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ his Son purifies us from all sin. So if we walk in the light and we're with him and we fellowship with him, there's purification through the blood. If we walk in the light and we say, God, search me and search my heart, that light will reveal to us the things we need to change. The things that we know does not please our relationship. We walk in the light and those things are exposed. And they're exposed to us. And if the relationship is true, if the relationship is close, you would say, forgive me, I'll not do that again. Right? If you have a love relationship and you're doing something to disturb that love relationship, and it's a true love relationship, someone's going to point out, you know, this bothers me because it's showing you, me that you love somebody else. Well, you do something about it, don't you? That's the same thing when we walk in the light. We walk in the light, our sins exposed, we repent, and he purifies us by his blood shed on the cross. Listen to this. The word there, purification, purifies, also means cleansing, and it's a continual thing. It's a continual thing. The faucet is on. Do you hear me? That the blood of Christ, the faucet is on. When we walk in the light, we say, we screwed up. We really messed up, Jesus. And he says, it's forgiven. I died once and for all for those sins. I died for those sins eternity past. And I died for those sins eternity future. John goes on and says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. to constantly pour over us. Say, the cross took care of it. The blood took care of it. The blood took care of it. The blood took care of it. And it seals our relationship all the more. What a great relationship. A relationship we don't merit. A relationship we don't deserve. A relationship that seems too good to be true. When we review this, and even when I reviewed it, because most of the time these sermons are for you. You're just eavesdropping. I mean, most of the time, these sermons I'm writing for me. And he's checking my spirit. I'm just giving you an opportunity to tell you what he's trying to work in my life. So how can we continue our Christian walk when we don't spend time with him? In Revelations, listen, Revelation says you've endured, you've toiled, you've done everything to fight the evil man and to win the battle, but you forgot me. You forgot your first love. You can work in this church 24/7. You can do all these things, but if you forget him, it means nothing. It's like Mary and Martha. Martha's going around being busy, and there was nothing wrong with her being busy, but in the important part, Mary was at the feet of Jesus, wanting to listen and fellowship with him. And there's nothing wrong with working for the church. We love it. But when it takes priority of your personal relationship with Christ and you lose that first love, there's a problem here. There's a problem here in River City. There's a problem here. Jesus is real. Jesus is historically documented. His crucifixion is documented. Even by non-Christians. And as John states, he wants more than everything to have that intimate relationship with you. For those of us that are Christians, we need to know what this Christianity is all about. And since Christianity has the word Christ in it, our lives has to be about Christ. There might be some of you that don't know Christ and don't know this intimacy and that questions how real he is. And I say to you, now's the time to think about it. And make a decision. A decision that's a free choice. That's what's great about Jesus. He says he wants and desires a relationship with us. And he chases after us for that relationship. But then the ball's in your court, isn't it? I remember going to the foot of Penn Independent Bible Church under Glenn F. Yeckley. And he ended his sermon with this phrase every single day. And that is, it is choice and not chance that determines your eternal destiny. And what will you do with Christ? Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we just thank you, Lord, that we have a real and living God that sacrificed himself to come here in human form, to prove to the world the existence of God. And so that we could see the nature of God walk on this earth. And that we can read reports of the nature of God walking on this earth. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Lord, help us to be intimate with you each day. Help us to go to that closet just talk and to laugh together. Help us to make that priority. Whatever you do, Lord, please help in all of our hearts not to leave our first love, which is you. I'm going to ask this question, as I do in most services. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask whether you know this Jesus. I want to ask whether you have heard for the first time that this Jesus was real and that you can have an intimate relationship with him. I'm going to ask if you're ready to make that commitment to him. I'm going to ask whether you're ready to say yes to him and start meeting him on a regular basis and learning from him how to walk this life. It's so simple. It just says to you, or you say to Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. I accept you as my personal Savior, and I want that walk. I have this hole in me that's so big because I'm not accepted, because I don't know where love is, and I know that you can fill it. I want anybody who's said that prayer, it's a simple prayer, to say, Jesus, come into my heart, I repent of my sin, and I want a walking, talking relationship with you. That's what you pray. That's what you pray. If you want to accept Christ and you've made that prayer right now, just ask you, raise your hand and put it back down. Just raise that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, all of us seek you out. Sometimes not on your time, but on our time, we ask for forgiveness for that. Help us from this message. Open up our living room to you on a consistent basis, so that we may know more about you and so that we can walk with you as originally intended in the garden. And I pray this, Lord, in your holy and precious name, the name above all others, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.